Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes Talk Radio Show with hosts Gay Hilton and George Juhas. This riveting show will help you find balance and energy while guiding you on your vibrational journey. Now here are your hosts, Drs. Gay Hilton and George Juhas.
We welcome you, our global audience, to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes, our show which peers into the world of vibration. Realize that the food we eat, the water we drink, and the environment that surrounds us daily affects this vibration. We are essentially a human PC. My co-host is Dr. George Juhas, a clinical hypnotherapist and traditional naturopathic doctor. And George, I will let you introduce our guest.
Thanks, Gay. Hello, everyone, and wishing you all the best of life's vibrations to all our listening audience. It's my great pleasure to introduce today's guest, my son, Bud Juhas. He is a lifelong student and accomplished practitioner of the martial arts. His extensive background includes the grappling disciplines of judo and wrestling, as well as aikido and karate. Bud currently works as a consultant to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in the area of healthcare data analysis and serves as an assistant instructor at Eaton Dojo in Enola, Pennsylvania. He will be sharing his ideas on how using various movements and philosophy associated with the martial arts can energize and focus you on the challenges of daily life. Welcome, Bud.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you with us today. Bud, what are some of the basic ways in which training in martial arts can promote physical, mental, spiritual health?
Well, starting with physical health, just the idea of getting out and moving around in any shape or form is going to increase your health. You hear all the time about studies regarding the obesity in the United States. You also hear about how just getting out and walking around makes your circulation better and reduces the risk for certain types of disease. And martial arts is a great activity for engaging in that type of movement. We talk about the physical, spiritual, and mental attributes that kind of go along with it. From the standpoint of the mental attributes, in order to practice martial arts, you have to give a great deal of yourself in terms of regularly committing to the practice. And you don't always feel like doing it, you don't always feel like going, and you don't always feel like paying attention to it. But you get out there and you do it, and that type of commitment builds something of a can-do attitude that you can approach to any aspect of your life. From the standpoint of spiritual, I kind of look at that from two ways. One goes hand in hand with the mental building blocks. As you're building that never say die attitude, the spiritual component of that can also be a belief in yourself, in terms of self-confidence, in terms of empowering yourself to go out there and achieve goals. On the other side, spiritual can also be something akin to a religious practice. One of the arts I currently practice, Aikido, the founder of Aikido actually developed it from more combative methods as a means of practicing his religion in physical form. So kind of all three areas are touched upon in this type of practice.
That's very interesting, Bud. Martial arts, in its purest form, as I understand it, it's really about inner awareness. And again, I'm speaking from the standpoint of in its purest form, and it focuses on a lot of components. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to kind of maybe address some of these. But these components might include, off the top, mental discipline, concentration, physical balance, coordination, flexibility. Are there some other intrinsic benefits?
Well, you know, and you've touched on some great ones. I'll give a great example is my wife, who never really competed or participated in athletic endeavors growing up and didn't have a lot of confidence as far as her ability to participate in intense physical activities. And she started training in martial arts about 3.5 years ago, and the transformation's been quite startling in that she no longer looks at something with a, I don't know if I can do this, but more of a, well, let's see what it takes to do this type of attitude. That's one thing. in one's profession, in one's vocation, you can apply the benefits that you reap while training in that same direction. If you've got a very difficult project, you listed out different components: balance, dexterity, strength. In the process of training and developing those things, you learn how to segment different pieces and building blocks, if you will. In any kind of work endeavor, a lot of the time, in order to complete a project that seems very daunting, you need to be able to do the same thing as break something down into its component parts. And that kind of approach is really no different from how one approaches martial arts.
But could you talk a little bit about, and I'm sure you're aware of some of the dojos, of the power of the dojos and some of the senseis in the Chinese arts and the Japanese arts. And from what I understand, there have been shows where they have had some of these individuals actually creating an energy field around them that these men might be tiny, not even very large, well-built men, and anybody that tried to penetrate that energy field could not penetrate. Could you go into that at all?
I can speak a little to it, not in the sense that I wish I were that accomplished. I'm merely a journeyman on that road, but having put hands on some people with just incredible abilities in that regard, what you kind of get a sense of is that these folks are so in tune with their own bodies and so in tune with being able to feel yours, sometimes without even touching you, but feeling what your intent is that before you decide to do anything to them, they already know what you're going to do and have created a response that feels instantaneous. And sometimes it happens without them, you ever touching them. That is one of those, I suppose, manifestations of the utmost of these principles. And, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because one of the things you run into in the martial arts is that everybody kind of wants to get to that step immediately. And a lot of people don't understand the years and hours of training that go in to get to that place.
This is a very valuable tool in the sense that, and you're talking about intention, sensing intention gives a person the ability to be in instant control of what would be a potentially violent encounter.
At times, yes. And one of the things that we train students that come in, you know, you get folks that come in and say, well, I want to be able to defend myself on the street. But a lot of the time, the best kind of defense is, as has been said in movies and across the country and dojos everywhere, is best defense, no be there. And so if you're in a situation where you can sometimes get a sense of a street or an alley that if you're getting danger signs like, maybe I shouldn't go there, listen to those impulses. We all have kind of an innate survival instinct in that kind of way. That's one of the things that martial arts, when you're learning to read other people's intentions, sometimes you get a better sense of what your own, and you can learn to listen to your own instincts a little bit better.
So in a way, Bud, probably in a very major way, what we're finding about the martial arts is, I know in Tai Chi this is true in Qigong, but these areas of martial arts studies really concentrate a lot on mind, body, intuition. I mean, that's a major player, because you can't do one without the other, correct?
That's my understanding at this point, and I think if you're at a good place with an instructor that knows their stuff and has been around, they're certainly going to be addressing that at some point in your training. Different approaches have kind of different ways to train that. You brought up Tai Chi and Qigong. Those kind of fall into the classification, if you will, of internal martial arts, where they try and teach you from the standpoint of your structure, what you're trying to build from the inside out. Other approaches kind of go the outside-in route, and they're sometimes labeled as external martial arts, where, you know, the hours punching a wooden post, you know, you hear, see those images, or many push-ups, lots of hard physical conditioning. Ultimately, though, both of those approaches kind of get to the same place in the sense of full mind-body connection.
Well, and that is so important in all realms, especially in sports. I know, George, you have coached, I've coached, and we only know so well that when the mind and the body are one, you're in that zone. And George and I have also played in a couple doubles tournaments together in tennis.
Just a few, Gay.
And we really know what it means to be in the zone.
Sure.
But a lot of this does have an awful lot to do with that connection of not just intuition, but being in the zone. Could you talk a little bit about what the martial arts studies kind of do to acquaint the students with getting into the zone?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's, I think it's fantastic that you brought up the sports analogy, especially because there's a lot of sort of crossover sometimes between martial arts and sports. You see it in professional boxing, in some of the Olympic wrestling, judo, kickboxing. You see there's a number of martial arts have kind of veered into the sports arena, but it's important to remember that these activities aren't necessarily trained with the outcome of defeating someone else in mind. The ideal Budo or martial art is trained with the outcome of being better than you were the day before. So your major opponent's going to be yourself.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, that's so true. Having not only coached but taught physical education, one of the primo things when kids learn skills is to learn to feel the skill. And, you know, when you shoot that basketball towards the basket, when you hit the volleyball, when you hit the tennis ball, you know, these are all elements of getting into that zone and having the feel for what you're doing. And, you know, it's the truth. When you hit the baseball or you hit the tennis ball, you know the minute you've hit it,
yes,
usually the second you've hit it, that you're, you know, on the track of getting it in the basket or in the end zone or wherever you're trying to hit. But, you know, it's an incredible thing when we can get that feel of being in that balance and achieving the sports skills that we want to achieve by feeling. We're going to come back here. Our guest today is Bud Juhas. We're talking about martial arts, the mind and the body. And we'll let Bud pick it up when we come back. Thank you for listening.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Juhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 814-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.uhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you.
Blending the practical and the mystical, The Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to The Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Informative energies exist within our thought atmosphere and beyond. Energy is always exchanging at some level of awareness. On Making It All Click with MetaTelepath Brian Carlton Flournoy, a group MetaTelepathic experience is created live on the air. Higher Purpose inspires our telepathic improvement through conscious choice. Brian shares how to use intuition co-creatively in order to interpret all kinds of telepathic impressions into information for daily guidance. Through formatted weekly exercises, we practice sending, receiving, and interpreting energy impressions to serve a meaningful purpose. These intuitive experiences range from animal, plant, spirit communication to Akashic record, using nonverbal communication and seeing the invisible through divine eyes. Making It All Click with Brian Carlton Flournoy broadcasts each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Juhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at guhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with our guest, Bud Juhas, a martial artist. And Bud, we're going to talk a little bit more about getting into the zone and how martial arts prepares us to do that.
Absolutely. As before the break, you know, we were discussing sports and some of their comparative feelings within martial arts training. And Dad, as well as you well know, when I was very young, my entree into the martial arts, so to speak, was I was a judo player when I was very young, and then transitioned into wrestling when I was older. And one of the things I liked best about both sports were that they were team sports. So you had the camaraderie of a team sport, but at the same time, when it came down to your individual performance, you were out there alone responsible for how you did against the other person. And it was a great feeling of when you went out there and just were able to impose your will on someone else. And as I got older, and I like to think a little more mature, it eventually became less about measuring myself up against my opponent. Obviously, you want to be able to compete and do well, but it became more about how I felt I did. Did I give my best effort? Was I out there? Was I ready? Was I mentally ready? And that same thing applies to martial arts, especially those that practice it as a more of a cooperative or solo endeavor even. And the thing is, there's a lot of negative connotation around the word failure. And so when people approach martial arts, when they're their first day on the mat, they're like, do I get it? Am I getting it? Am I doing it right? And the thing is, it's such a, in a lot of ways, complex skill that nobody goes out there and does it right, exactly right their first day. So one of the things you have to kind of prepare yourself, and different training places do it different ways. You know, others, you know, some have measurable benchmarks that are, okay, you're performing at this level, a white belt level. Others say, no, you're not doing it right, but don't expect to do it right today. And I kind of have mixed feelings on what the best way to approach that is. But one of the things that I keep coming back to is you kind of learn to accept and look forward to failure, because that's how you're measuring your success. And that might sound strange, but from the standpoint of, if I can go out and do 20 push-ups really well with perfect form, and then I fail, and then tomorrow I can go out and do 50 push-ups really well with perfect form, and then I fail. Each time I work to the best of my ability on that day. And that's one of those things that the more you get used to working to the best of your ability, you don't even think about it. And then when you find yourself in that zone of just doing your best at that moment, it happens much more frequently.
I like the way you mentioned the fact you don't think. I know I'm a golfer. And the minute anyone that plays golf will agree with me on this, that you try to think through as you're doing and performing a skill in golf, you will screw up. Guaranteed. And that's kind of true in any sport. In other words, it's more go with how you feel, and you have to get, that's why the Kenneth said extensive going over and over again, practicing the same skill, eventually kind of drives it into the energy picture of your body and mind, and you just kind of fulfill the skill without even thinking about it. But you can always feel, you know, especially in golf, when you hit a ball, you can just feel that. Mm-hmm. Before you ever even look at the ball, you kind of can determine that wasn't a good shot, or yes, that's a good one.
Well, you know, in traditional martial arts of Japan, they have a term to kind of go over sort of the master and apprenticeship of martial arts training. It's called shu, ha, and ri. and it describes three stages of the path. The first stage, you're just learning the basics. You're just picking up what you can and trying to just mechanically repeat what you're told and get it just right. At the Ha stage, you're now doing it. You're still working on stuff, but you're technically very good, technically very proficient. And at the Re stage, you've now become the activity. You are the activity.
You are at one with it.
Right. And so it's learning the form, becoming the form, breaking the form.
Wow.
And I think that's very apropos, even though it's applied a lot to Japanese traditional martial arts. I think that's very apropos to any kind of activity that you undertake.
Now, but what in reference to fear of failure in preparation for a skill, though not everybody listening is into martial arts, a lot of people, especially high school kids and college athletes, or even competitive adult athletes that may be involved in a sport that want to become proficient at it, what would you recommend to them to block out the fear? How can we transfer what you've learned in martial arts to maybe help them in combating the fear? You know, you're in a tournament. Maybe it's just you and someone else, and you're all nerved up. What do you do?
You know, I think part of it comes back to that, and again, we're kind of mixing sports and martial arts a bit, and I think both are appropriate. It comes back to your training. If you are honestly working hard and honestly training hard in the endeavor that you've chosen, you have to be able at some point to rely on your training. And so if it means doing 1,000 sword cuts a day so that you don't even think about it, you just do it. If it means doing 1,000 repetitions of your kata, if it means doing an hour worth of sparring, if it means doing 1,000 free throws, you take comfort and you build those patterns into your body and your brain so that you've moved past having to consciously think about what you're doing, and then you get that stimulus, which means it's go time, and you go.
This kind of programming seems to address all sides of the martial arts, but I can't help but think of, and you and I have discussed this before, the three areas: physical, mental, spiritual. Physical being, you can equate that with hurting and restorative. Mental would be philosophical, meditative, intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to this last one, because you were just talking about integrity, the last side being spiritual, which you can equate with character development.
Yeah, and that's another very good point from the standpoint that traditional martial artists, a lot of the time, and you can still encounter this if you meet some of the, well, a lot of the time you can encounter this in a lot of places, but I think the most jarring image we have is the older person that's very skilled that looks for a student. They only have a couple students, and it's very important to them that their students are of good character. And a lot of good schools have this approach in that martial arts, above anything else, is to build your character so that you have the strength to be true to yourself. You have the strength to not have to fight just because somebody challenges you. And you have the strength to not be afraid to fail when you've given your best shot at something.
But is it fair to say that the highest pinnacle of martial arts study would be a totally non-violent approach, and that it's something that cannot be reached by physical practice alone?
I would hesitate to agree fully with that, only because there's so many variables that this comes into the standpoint of why do you train. And for someone that trains in order to build their character, I would say if the primary purpose for training is to build your character, I would say that I could agree with that. But a lot of people, there's a lot of different reasons that people train, and that might be the most benevolent reason for training. Other people have trained because, say, they have a lot of energy, or they need physical contact, and maybe they grew up roughhousing with brothers and sisters, and they still need that. And this gives them an outlet and a place to go do that in a safe environment with good people. Other people train because they have a lot of fear, and they don't, they're afraid of being too passive. They're afraid of interacting with people. And if you find the right school, this will help you further down that path of overcoming your fear. And that in that kind of approach, the reasons for training are very personal. And what I think is that it's very important that and to be honest with yourself about your reasons for training, and that can change from over a lifetime, obviously.
Change being an operant word there. Fear and anger, which you're talking about now, they give the message that change is desired.
Mm-hmm.
So how can this desire for change be effectively translated into participating in the martial arts?
Well, and that's interesting because we get people that come to class to watch and they say, well, I've always wanted to do this and it looks interesting to me.
Yeah.
And they start training. And after a while you get to know them. And once they open up and they feel more comfortable, sometimes in an aside, you'll hear from one of them that maybe they were abused when they were younger. And this is kind of helping them work through some of that themselves, not because there's anybody out there treating them on the mat or giving them therapy per se, but it's empowering them to kind of look at stuff without the same fearful or angry perspective. Another instance is somebody that is prone to acting out, and sometimes this deals back with kids. A structured activity can give them an outlet for some of that excess energy, and also show when it is okay to be physical and when it's okay to interact with people in what could be considered to be a physically aggressive manner.
Wow, this has been very intriguing indeed. And I'm sure anybody that's an athlete out there is going to gain a lot of information from this. We'll be back here in a few, and we are enjoying very much our guest today, Bud Juhas. We'll be back in a few seconds with more on martial arts and the mind and the body.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Juhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 814-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.uhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you.
Blending the practical and the mystical, the Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to the Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment,
or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Juhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at guhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back, our global audience, to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with our guest, Bud Juhas. And I'm going to let George start this off. George?
Yeah, thank you, Gay. And a comment to you, Gay. We know that in the 17th century that Descartes made a deal with the religious establishment of that time to separate body from mind, essentially.
Uh-huh.
And in my research before the show, one of the things I came across, and this is to you, Bud, is that the Chinese character for martial is composed of two separate words, and one, I'm taking pause there, one was to eliminate, meaning to eliminate, and the other one stood for an ancient weapon of war, I believe called the halberd or halberd, something like that.
The halberd, yes.
The halberd, okay, you're familiar with that. And this is very interesting to me because the physical aspect of martial arts study has never meant to be separated from that of the spiritual, in contrast to body-mind, and that even today we're still catching up with that concept, but in the spirit of the martial arts, it's never really been separated. And in truth, I think martial arts in its purest form, again, is a spiritual approach to bring peace to the world, and it's a way of bringing harmony to world conflicts. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm of a couple minds about that, and kind of taking, you mentioned some historical antecedents, I'm going to bring up a couple of my own, in that from the older, especially if we're talking about Asian arts, from the older cultures, the martial arts were developed, I'll talk specifically about Japan, the earliest arts were developed as part of the samurai culture and were especially developed and recorded during the shogunate era, when the samurai were essentially at peace. And that's when you started to see a lot of dueling arts, which swordsmanship and the empty-handed arts started to gain more prominence. And in the Chinese sense, the battlefield arts were done as, these were both means for preparing for war. And one of the ways that in which they were able to hold the peace is that if you've got two people meeting, and you know that on any given day the other person could kill you or you could kill them, you tend to act a bit more respectfully.
So in terms of rules of engagement, you know, even in a nuclear sense, we can look at the superpowers in the same way. It's deterrence.
Right. And that's one reason I think when you see a lot of get-togethers of martial artists, they're usually very, very polite to each other.
And that makes sense. Well, you know, and you, when you consider just what you said too, that in those, in centuries ago, on a daily basis, I mean, we think we have stress in the 21st century, but imagine getting up out of bed a century or a couple centuries ago and not knowing whether in realistic views whether you'd be alive by evening.
Right. And I kind of would like to circle back to Dad's mention of spirituality. That again could be approached a couple of ways. If we talk about the Buddhist temple, where the legends of the Shaolin sprang up, where a Bodhidharma from India brought Buddhism and Kung Fu. They very much, the martial arts were a way to physically train and help them maintain and continue their spiritual practices. From the standpoint of Japan, the martial arts were taught as ryu that belonged to different samurai clans, and they were bundled together with the political aspirations of the clans and the individual gods that were worshipped, and so that they were all housed together as part of the everyday life for that type of person.
And you know, but if we look too at the Oriental philosophy period, the Eastern philosophy set aside, you know, there is no such thing as a separation of mind and body. It's never been a question that the mind and the body were one. That's integrated into their lifestyle, traditional Chinese medicine. You know, no matter what area of Eastern philosophy you go into, that's the crucial aspect of Eastern philosophy, is that the mind and the body are one and there is no separation.
Well, it's interesting that you mention that too, because the method of training the body was to train the mind at the same time. You stood a certain way because that would give you a certain feel, intent, look. You would make certain sounds. I mean, the kiai of Japan, the kiai is a Japanese word, which, you know, it's the same as Aiki in harmonizing with energy. You make sounds in order to make yourself feel a certain way. And if you talk about feelings in the mind, you, as you train these things, you're feeling a certain way so that your mind and body are trained at the same time.
Exactly. One is not separate. You know, what's real interesting, Springfield, Massachusetts has the Springfield College, which is the national, at one time was the national YMCA school where all the coaches and the physical education teachers were trained. A very well-known school, and there, my father was a graduate of that school, and he got a chair sent to him, and I remember it has the logo, which is the, also ironically the YMCA logo, of the triangle, and mind, body, and spirit at each corner of the triangle, meaning that kind of, isn't it interesting that they have also taken on the flavor of the Eastern philosophy to some extent, using that aspiration, that inspiration and aspiration both of anyone in the field of physical education. That's part of your training, in to some lighter degree, because, you know, we are all one. We are not, you know, just this or just this aspect.
Well, if you look at physical training as accomplishing a goal, whether it's in athletics, whether it's in martial arts, whether it's in a hobby you have, to truly accomplish a goal, you can't differentiate a lot of the time between mind, body, spirit necessarily. They all have to be on the same page in order for you to perform most efficiently.
With the sports teams right now just having completed a lot of their seasons, you know, a lot of people, you know, read articles of teams that were in the playoffs and some of the comments, and I found it quite intriguing, some of the comments of some of the young men and women that were in the finals. I remember reading one of a young kid that came off the ice and made the comment, "I'm not losing this game." He went back in and about 15 seconds later scored the winning goal for his team. I read another comment similar to that in a basketball final where this kid was just determined he was going to shoot the last basket and get it in, and he did. Swish. But it's interesting how these things carry over. But what do you recommend for our listeners that may be in tight situations? And we kind of hit on this before, where maybe you have a crowd screaming at you and you're at the foul line, or you're under a lot of physical and emotional duress at that point. You might be hurting because you've been running up and down the floor. If you're playing basketball, you're out of breath, and now you're at the foul line. Again, it's that getting into the zone and that mind-body connection that kind of propels the ones that, the winners versus the ones that kind of crack.
Yes.
And cave.
Yes. And, you know, and I think both of you are somewhat aware of this being coaches. And when I help teach it's an approach I take, is we have a saying in the dojo, is you bleed on the mat, so you live outside. Which, and that comes back to, you train as hard and as smart as you can when you have the opportunity. And sometimes you need a teacher or a trainer to help you do that.
George, is there anything you would do when you used to coach the cross-country team up at Allegheny College to get them kind of wired for real heavy-duty conferences, championships? I know you had some young men go to nationals. What did you do to kind of help them get into the psyche of being the winner versus coming in second place?
Gay, I used to have them utilize visualization, visualizing being successful, making it as detailed oriented as possible, just imagining, using the power of imagination, which is a lot stronger than knowledge and reading what you should do from any book, just imagining themselves being successful.
That's so crucial. That really is. I know I've read some tremendous, interestingly, recent articles on people that actually, as they visualize, and I'm sure you've heard of this too, Bud, where they actually are moving the muscles as they're visualizing going through the skill. The actual muscles that are going to be utilized in that skill are actually in some way moving, and they're vibrating, and they're going through the motion. So it's not only just you're out there physically shooting the basket to the hoop or the ball to the basket, but you're also actually physically moving some of those muscles.
And that's an interesting point in terms of visualization. And if I can combine that too, visualization while physically training is a very strong tool that's utilized in a number of arts. And some of the most well-respected and accomplished teachers that I've either trained under or spoken to, a lot of them say, I get up and I do 1,000 reps of this, and each time I do it, I pretend it's the only time I can do it. Dad, if I can mention back to the cross-country team, I know something else you had them do, which was something you might not necessarily think of for runners, pull-ups, push-ups, and sit-ups.
That's right, Bud. You remember too well.
That's right. And that's kind of key, because I think in order to train the mind, you need to train that body.
Yep.
And in order to train the body, sometimes you need to train the mind. And some people take maybe better to different approaches, but I think you need to at least be able to touch on both aspects.
But isn't it interesting that the neurons, the neurological system actually reacts to the visualization exercises, and they've actually proven that, that the muscles are kind of going, I mean, it's just an incredible thought, that just the power of thought can do those things, so that we're not only physically training, but as we're visualizing, we're also training the skill to work out appropriately the way we want and visualize it to work out.
Absolutely agreed. And some of the Okinawan karate practitioners, they do an hour's worth of solo kata at once, where they just visualize opponents coming in. They're also training pathways within themselves. And this is something we kind of touched on before, is that when you do that visualization, sometimes the best way in a martial arts type of context to affect someone else is to move yourself correctly. If you think, I really want to push them over, and they stand there, sometimes you say, I really need to move myself down and in, and then they go over.
You know, this is really an interesting point, Bud, because the body is really not designed to move in a straight line. And that is why I guess you guys study kata. In order to complete a straight line of projection or movement, the body or hip rotation will always, as an example, the body or hip, when you rotate them, will always complete a zigzag pattern. We move from side to side in order to create movement in a forward direction.
And also our weight on our feet has a need to accomplish this as well.
A golf drive would be a great example of that.
Yeah.
Well, and that hip turn and release that you do to power a golf drive. Imagine doing that in a straight line and dropping your body weight into someone at the same time.
Absolutely. And, of course, the more we practice, the better we get. We know that. But isn't it interesting for the folks listening that maybe they can begin augmenting both areas, you know, visualizing as well as using the physical skill over and over in their practice. And we're going to take another break here. Our guest today is George's son, Bud Juhas, and we've been talking about the martial arts and how it affects our vibrational life. And we'll be back in a few.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you aware that we are all vibrational beings? Where does our personal energy come from? How does energy manifest in our lives? What are the ways we can use different energies to change and improve the quality of our lives? Learn how you can answer these questions and more. Traditional naturopathic doctors Gay Hilton and George Juhas bring a dynamic, interactive presentation style to any engagement that is certain to educate, entertain, and inspire you. Call us today to schedule an intoxicating, riveting seminar, workshop, or lecture. To reach Dr. Gay, please call 814-333-6126 or by email at drhilton@acu-nu.com. Dr. Gay's website is www.acu-nu.com. To reach Dr. George, please call 724-413-6252 or email him at guhas@hotmail.com. Dr. George's website is www.juhaswellness.com. Call today and experience the individual energy being that is you.
Blending the practical and the mystical, the Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to the Emmy Louie Show each Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Thoughts are things. Mind creates. The quality of your thoughts and feelings impacts everything in your life. So how do you access your power to change? On Theater of the Mind with Kelly Howell, you'll get unprecedented access to some of the world's leading visionaries and consciousness researchers, exploring mind expansion, intuition, creativity, and the many facets of human potential. Expand your knowledge of the body-mind connection and learn how to tap into the other 90% of your potential. Visit Theater of the Mind online at kellyhowell.com. That's KellyHowell.com.
Theater of the Mind is brought to you by BrainSync CDs and MP3 downloads for peak performance and mind expansion. Visit BrainSync.com. That's Brain, SYNC.com.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with naturopathic practitioners, Drs. Hilton and Juhas. If you have a question for either Gay or George, please feel free to email them directly. Gay's email is drhilton@acu-nu.com, and you can reach George at guhas@hotmail.com. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to Good Vibes, Bad Vibes with our guest today, Bud Juhas, who happens to be the son of Dr. George. And, Bud, we left off talking about the martial arts and the many diversified aspects of the martial arts. Would you go into some of the diversifications for those individuals that might be out in the audience listening that would be interested in not only partaking the martial arts for themselves individually or maybe augmenting it to some of their other sports training?
Absolutely. I like to think of martial arts is kind of falling within two realms. There's something akin to combat sports, which includes boxing and wrestling, judo, as well as more traditional martial arts, which can also include judo and karate, different types of weapon arts. And something to be considering when you're going looking at trying to study is, are you doing this because you want to learn how to fight? Are you doing this? Do you want just personal development? Are you trying to train primarily balance? Do you mind interacting with other people in a physical manner? The best recommendation I can give to anybody is to get out there and do some research online. A lot of dojos and schools have websites. Look at your yellow pages. Look under the martial arts section. Sometimes places are still under the karate and other martial arts. Get out there and visit. Go watch a class. I can't think of any instructor worth their salt that doesn't at least let you come watch a class before you sign up. How much does it cost? Some places charge an astronomical amount of money, and maybe it's not really worth it. A lot of YMCA programs have very good instruction in judo and karate and boxing, and for not a whole lot of money. It really kind of depends on what you're looking for. These days, what's popular a lot is the mixed martial arts phenomenon's really taken hold with the Ultimate Fighting Championships and that kind of thing. And a lot of those places, there's a lot of gyms out there that train that kind of thing. And I think it's a great paradigm for kind of getting there on good terms with someone else and just banging around and seeing what works for you. There's also traditional places that teach tai chi, kenjutsu, and other types of arts that are have different goals in mind. And what really matters, if you're looking at it as a supplemental type of activity to your primary main physical activity, is finding something that isn't going to conflict with what you're already doing. It should be something that you can adopt into your lifestyle, or if it's something that you want to pursue as a primary activity, that you're not going to mind necessarily adapting yourself in order to do the activity.
Even, for example, the practice of Tai Chi, which is a much more meditative aspect of martial arts, is very, very excellent. It's a very excellent way to get a potential skill driven into the body mentally. In other words, when we begin to learn how to meditate and go within, as we incorporate some of these visualization techniques for skills and skill building for specific sports, this really goes very well hand in hand.
Absolutely, and it's interesting you bring up Tai Chi. There's a lot of it is taught as kind of a moving meditation, but there's still places where it's taught as a very, very effective fighting art as well.
Exactly. George, what do you yourself in your own, I know you're very into your own personal training, what do you do personally to kind of work through on a meditative basis? Do you use any of the martial arts techniques or visualization techniques from the martial arts?
I definitely come from the tradition of Qigong. And the theory behind this is that the five natural elements of metal, wood, water, fire, and earth correspond with five different organs in the body.
Right.
The lungs, the liver, kidney, heart, and spleen, I believe, respectively. By connecting these elements with the organs, you can improve their function.
So true.
Yeah. Yeah, and the five organs are linked to their corresponding elements through
the meridian structure.
That's right, the meridian structure. Another component of this is the mantra, which is really a soothing sound vibration, and you can create your own, and it serves to improve and adjust the circulation of the inner chi. And then the last part of this I've already mentioned would be the use of imagination or visualization, whichever you prefer to call it. I like imagination because, it's stronger than knowledge, and you can just let fly.
That's right. Well, the pranayama, which of course is using the East Indian deep breathing, and when they say deep, they mean right down into the abdomen, which I know the Chinese do the same thing in the martial arts, is very, very effective, not only in visualization, but also cleansing and detoxification of the body. And so much of that meridian and East Indian chakra system energy zones are so important in all aspects of visualization, healing, and mind-body balance. Well, we are getting ready to close off for today. We thank you, Bud Vuhas, for such a wonderful presentation on the martial arts. And George, I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about our next week's guest on Good Vibes, Bad Vibes.
Thank you, Gay, and thank you very much, Bud, for being here today. Next week, we're going to have Joseph Hauseel. He's an Emmy-nominated director and choreographer, and he is going to be talking to us about how the experience, expression, and appreciation of dance as a transmittal of vibrational energy can enrich our lives and move us ever closer to being our true selves.
Thank you, everyone, and goodbye. See you next Wednesday.
We hope that you enjoyed today's show, Good Vibes, Bad Vibes. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can be empowered in our vibrational world.